Morning, everyone.
Good
Morning.
morning. Morning, Pastor Jessica.
Morning. Dad and Pastor Sash are traveling. They're on their way to India. So Dad asked me to do the session this morning, and from a message he sent last night, he was intending to join us. Not sure from the hotel or where exactly, or the airport. But I got a message from him this morning at 4:30 to say please apologize. He's feeling very tired and he just needs to rest. So I'm sure we can excuse him. But thank you all for joining us this morning. I think on the line so far we have Pastor Lenny, good morning. Pastor Prakash, Pastor Anup, Summation and Davina, Pastor Gideon. Is it Pastor Gideon or almost Pastor Gideon?
Almost Pastor Gideon. Good morning.
Almost. Keep serving faithfully. And then we've got Pastor Chandan, Faith. And let's see, Pastor Malcolm as well. So, morning to all of you. I trust everybody is well and had a good weekend wherever you are located. Okay, wonderful. All right, let's begin. Pastor Malcolm, could we ask you to open the meeting in prayer for us?
Loving Father, we praise thee, we thank thee, we glorify thy name, we thank you, God, for this wonderful morning, this beautiful day. We pray, God, for the team who's traveling to India, Pastor Ronnie and Sachin and the team. Bless their ministry, bless whatever they're going to have in India. Pour out your love and grace in their lives. We thank you, God, for your faithfulness in every situation. We are more than conquerors because you first loved us. And I thank you, God, for your hand of grace over our lives. We pray, God, for we pray for Nepal in a special way. We pray for India. We pray for Rodriguez Islands as Samuel is joined from there. Bless them, O Father. We thank you, God, for South Africa, O God, and all the sons and daughters in South Africa for their commitment and dedication for the ministry to see that God's kingdom be advanced, even as we sit at your feet this morning. We ask your blessing. We ask your wisdom. We ask that, Lord, that you would reveal the secrets, the inner secrets of your heart into our lives, that we will live holy lives. Bless us, O God, even as we continue to fellowship this morning, be with us and guide us. We thank you, Lord, that you are a faithful God who's faithful in every situation, and you have been faithful to us in our ministries and even in this morning group that we meet. And Lord, we pray for the upcoming School of Ministry in Bangalore. Your love and grace to abound in the various places in India where they're traveling. Father, we pray an outpour of your love and grace. We pray for a fresh anointing. They will receive your Holy Spirit in a very special way. These meetings will be blessed meetings for all of them. And we thank you for your faithfulness. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Malcolm. Those that have just joined us, good morning to you. We have, over the last many weeks, excuse me, been studying from Dr. Segi's book. Which is entitled The Father-Son Wineskin. And last week we were in chapter six, and Pastor Sash asked me to start with chapter seven this morning. So that's what we will do. But one thing just to connect us from last week to this week is I have pondered something I said in the meeting last week around. After Pastor Samuel mentioned some of his experience in the church in the islands, that we also have similar churches in South Africa where the culture may be very different from what we are teaching, what we are preaching, what we are building or desiring to build in greater measure. And I said that it's also the people that perpetuate the building of these type of systems where the pastor is exalted and the sons in the church get placed under the significant pressure to build the ministry and can be used, can be abused in these environments. So whilst it is true that there are different types of churches and church members can perpetuate these types of systems, when we go to the book of Malachi, you find that the Lord, in dealing with the people of God not being in the correct state that he would like, he doesn't necessarily point in this book to the people, but he points to the priests, and he talks to the priests about how they have forsaken him, how they have forsaken truth, and the impact that it has upon the people is very significant. So I just wanted to add that in that as much as people may be at times without knowledge, people do join with churches, attempt to fellowship, belong, because that's what they see the common culture of the day as being. And so when they begin to fellowship in environments like that, they may know no better to bring such change or correction or to leave. And ultimately, the Lord looks to those who are leading. And even I was studying recently the book of Judges, and the Song of Deborah talks about when leaders lead and when the people volunteer themselves, how blessed it is. So leaders leading and leaders leading well according to the will of the Lord, for the will of the people, according to the heart of God, is very important. And so that's why we come together, so that we can learn what the heart of our Father is, and we can continue in the building from generation to generation. So I'm going to share my screen, and we will then have a look at the chapter 7 context. And the chapter 7 context is the chapter 7 context is about the father-son wineskin dividing the body. And Dr. Segi has taken a point from the writing of Wolfgang Simpson, and he uses that as his departure point to talk about this particular opinion that is against the father-son wineskin. And as a departure point, he then fills in afterwards by presenting us with the view of what his biblical take is on why that isn't the case. So let's begin with looking into the context that is presented to us. In chapter 7, he says, Wolfgang Simpson in his paper believes that the father-son wineskin divides the body. And I think we know that division is not a good thing. And it's from that context that the writer presents this point of view. And he mentions the following in point 28. In 1 Corinthians 3, verses 3 to 6, Paul confronts the idea of factions, the misguided worldly idea of dividing the body of Christ into those following Paul, Apollos, Cephas, Christ. He calls it infantile. This is, however, exactly what happens again in father-son wineskins. Interestingly, however, some father-son wineskin advocates actually endorse spiritual tribalism and the division Paul warns of. This should serve as a big warning light to you. So, those are some of the points that Dr. Segi has extracted from Wolfgang Simpson, and then he brings in 1 Corinthians 3, 6 into the writing to get us to see the scripture more clearly in order for us to begin to understand it and interpret it. So he says, this is not what happens in an authentic father-son wineskin. Unfortunately, these conclusions are derived from observing delinquent father-son wineskins. Paul, Apollos, Peter, John all had their own spheres. Paul had his sons, and John had his sons. There is nothing wrong with saying, I am of Paul or I am of Peter. Spheres are allowed. And then in highlighted text, he says, the error arises when those who are of Paul say that they are not of Peter. And then he says, authentic fathers train their sons to listen to the voice of God in their father, in their fathers. So before we go on to the affirmation that we read of Peter towards Paul, let's read these scriptures. It's coming from, well, it's not the New King James as we typically would read it. And it says in verse 3, for ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to each man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So this is the Apostle Paul writing to the church of Corinth, and in his writing, there are many matters that he addresses. And so him bringing this into the writing, there's a matter in here, or more than a matter, there's perhaps a matter and some learnings that he is bringing to the church of Corinth. And so in this context, one says, I am of Paul, another, I am of Apollos, i.e. not carnal. And Dr. Segi is saying, he's saying there's nothing wrong with the spheres or with saying that that one is of Paul and one is of Peter, etc. But he's saying one should not then be going on to say that they are not of another father. They are not of another apostle. And he then talks about how Peter affirms Paul. And I think as we go on, this will become clearer. So here in 2 Peter 3, verses 15 to 16, he says, and considering that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you, as also in all his epistles, speaking of them, of these things in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scriptures. So Dr. Segi says, in fact, authentic father-son wineskins are going to be the major catalyst in bringing the body of Christ together in a city. And so the writing of Wolke Simpson is when he says this should be a big warning light to you of this dividing the body, this causing factions. Dr. Segi is saying, if you observe how in Peter's writing he affirms Paul, that's an indication that the spiritual fathers are meant to affirm one another and work together, and these are things that are meant to be taught to their sons. So let's move on to the next portion of scripture that is part of the context. In 1 Corinthians 3, now 3 to 10, it's perhaps I won't read the whole thing again because we've just read in part. So where he continues on from here, from verse 6, it says, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. And I think that's an important verse that will come out again in the writing. It says, so then neither is he that planted anything, neither is he that watered, but God that gave the increase. Now he that planted and he that watered are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me. As a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. So we're now getting into the building process. We're going to look at gold, silver, precious stones, and wood, stubble, and hay. And he says, Paul mentions the reasons for the sectarianism. A carnality is one of them, which is a tendency to satisfy the flesh. Then we also have envying, strife, and divisions, and walking as mere men. These are some of the reasons for the sectarianism that's coming through. Walking as mere men. Envying, strife, and divisions, carnality, which is a tendency to satisfy the flesh. And so perhaps we'll come to some discussion just now, and you can tell us in your specific regions the extent to which you see these types of reasons showing up in your cultures, in the cities that you are operating in. Whether these are not just from the day of Paul and Peter, but have still continued on. And I suspect that you will say we are still seeing some of this because the nature of man hasn't changed entirely. And in every generation, we still have work to do to shift from the fleshly mindset to the spiritual mindset. So we know that the spirit wars against the flesh, and the flesh wars against the spirit, and this is a battle that needs to be won. Now, what he does say next is that all these are signs of immaturity. All these are signs of immaturity when we observe the tendency to satisfy the flesh, the envying, the strife, and the divisions, walking as mere men. And then he asks the question, who sorts out the problem of immaturity? And he provides the answer as mature men. So it is mature men who come in to sort out the problem of immaturity. And I think that makes sense to us that the we probably you've probably used this. I know I've used this before when counseling couples, to say to them, if you are part of causing the problem, it's difficult for you to see the solution, and hence you need to bring in somebody who is a trusted advisor who you can bring in for a period of time to assist you, to help you to see things differently, and then to move on so the two of you can continue. And so, in the similar context, mature men who are fathers need to help those who are immature to see things differently. And this is exactly what Paul is doing in that writing. So when we go through scripture, analyzing ideas, etc., we must look at the full context, and not just take portions out of context. Because as much as Paul raised the matter, Paul went on to provide teaching to that matter. And as we see here, it is the mature fathers who help to deliver the church from immaturity. So, as Paul presents the solution, the solution is presented, as Dr. Segi's captured it, in 14 different points. And so we'll go through them. If time allows, we might even be able to finish them today. But of course, we're not necessarily going to rush to do that. We will take it a step at a time. So this is the context that we are looking at. And the first point that is in the book is Paul and Apollos recognize themselves as servants. And hence the writing is, who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom he believed? So he educates the Corinthians by stating that Apollos and himself are ministers or servants. And this is what fathers do. They serve the body. Ministers are servants. And the word comes from it comes from diakonos, which means minister, servant, a deacon. And we're looking at this word from verse 5, which talks about who are they but servants. Sorry, who are they but ministers? So a minister is a servant. Another word can be the same as a deacon. Jan says God brings different apostles to preach the word by which people believe. And Paul demystifies apostleship and fathering. The second point is that Paul and Apollos operated in the gifts God gave to them. And that's the add-on that he brings in from verse 5 at the top here to the point he's making here. So he says, they are ministers by whom he believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. So their roles were appointed by God. And then verse 6 says Paul and Apollos had different grace functions. Paul says, I have planted, and then Apollos has watered, but God gave the increase. And so he says, Paul labored to birth the church. Apollos labored to teach, and God gave the increase. So, the next point, point four, is also linked to the same idea. In point four, he says, Paul and Apollos are nothing, for without God, there is no increase or growth. And then from the text, it is so then. Neither is he that planted anything, neither he that watered, but God that gave the increase. And then he goes on to talk about Paul and Apollos being one. So I'd like us to pause here for a short while, and we can have a bit of dialogue about this. So just to emphasize a bit further the points that we have gone through, point one is Paul and Apollos recognize themselves as servants. Secondly, they operated in the gifts that God gave to them. Thirdly, they had different grace functions. And then the fourth point is Paul and Apollos are nothing, for without God, there is no increase or growth. So, Paul laboring to birth, that is the planting aspect. And then Apollos laboring to water, and that is the teaching aspect. And you may see things from a perspective that you can share with us this morning that maybe will illuminate how all of us understand some of these scriptures. When I look at the work that Paul does, I do see how he labored to birth. I do see that going into new regions, sharing and breaking ground. And when we consider the work that Dr. Ronnie does, going into new regions and laboring to birth the apostolic, yes, there is an element of teaching that is part of the birthing process, but bringing something new into an environment is different to just continuing to teach in that environment. And he carries a very strong gift, a unique gift to be able to do that. And I think we all have been blessed by that grace that God has given him. So not everybody can go into a new environment and suddenly start preaching about the apostolic, or even suddenly start birthing a new ministry or teaching people who've never heard of Christ. But we are definitely connected to one that does that. And perhaps many of you have also done similar, gone in, started ministry from scratch. And there's the continuing, which is one aspect, but the starting, it's like starting a car. Getting it going requires overcoming a fair bit of inertia. So the starting process can be, in a way, more difficult. You may not share that same perspective, but hence, I'd like us to just have a brief dialogue around some of the points that have been covered, and would like to hear your perspective on this before we move on to some of the other points that fathers work in order to raise sons into maturity. So, before I nominate anyone, are there some volunteers who would like to unmute and share some thoughts with us that authentic spiritual fathers and sons, the authentic wineskin doesn't divide, but actually brings the body together?
I would like to bring to Pastor Malcolm here from Dubai. I would
Good
like to bring,
morning, Mr.
good morning, everyone. I'd like to bring into context the most important thing in this chapter and in this chapter six. It is teaching us not an authority being as a father, the most important thing in us and each one of us. We should have the servanthood heart. The servanthood heart will take you to higher realms in the kingdom of God. A servanthood heart would bring revelation into the lives of, will bring revelation in you to release it into the lives of the people whom you are fellowshipping and whom are your spiritual sons. This servanthood heart is not something that we can buy it in the market. This servanthood heart is a gift given by God to us. And that's why you see Paul and Apollos had everything in common. Even though they knew that there are two different ministries between Paul and Apollos, but yet their contribution is to serve the living God. Their contribution was Christ. Their contribution, Christ be raised up everywhere. Now, every church should build up on that servanthood heart. Every father should know that first, before he is a father, he is a servant of all. Once you be a servant of all, you can stand as a father and serve your sons with much compassion, serve your sons with diligence, serve your sons knowing. And when you do this, automatically, the Holy Spirit, who is our guide, who is our teacher, who is our all in all, will take you into all truths, will bring you to the next dimension of how you got to see your ministry and how you got to serve in your ministry. We see this happen in many places where division and strife tries to take control of the ministry, and we start comparing ourselves with other sons in the same father's son wineskin, and we try to climb the ladder. I'm better and he is not better, and trying to prove that, and we do a lot of things which is not relevant of a servanthood. So when we give place for servanthood in the body of Christ, when we give place for servanthood to deal in our lives, then we become masters. And then we serve God with the power and authority as a king and priest, having dominion over every situation. We are a chosen generation. We are a royal priesthood. We are a holy nation. We have been set aside for a purpose and time such as this, to have dominion over every pass of darkness. Dominion doesn't mean that we as fathers take authority. This dominion means being a servant and being a servant of all. A kingly servant and a priestly servant. Two functions. A kingly servanthood will give you authority to domain over situations. A priestly servanthood will give you authority to serve God with all your heart. So these two ministries which David in the Old Testament in the tabernacle, he brought this, he brought the picture in the Moses in the Old Testament, only the priest could do the priestly, only the priest could do the functions in the church, morning and evening. Atonements for sins were once a year. Today, we are kings and priests. We can do it every second of the day. We are kings and priests that we can do it. Jesus, when the veil was torn open, he opened heavens for us. He fulfilled what God promised Moses. He fulfilled what the picture of what David's tabernacle was all about. He fulfilled and brought a revelation to us. He did not eradicate the tabernacle of Moses. He did not say the tabernacle of Moses is finished. He did not say the tabernacle of David is finished. Zion was the place established. Today, we have Zion in our hearts. Zion, a place of rest. Over every situation, we can rest because of our servanthood heart. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Desigan.
Thanks, Pastor Malcolm. Appreciate your contribution. That's a very important point, that the heart of our service and needs to be linked to us serving. So having the heart of a servant. And this is very much how Jesus functioned. He taught about who would be the greatest amongst us, and it is the one who serves. And Jesus definitely demonstrated that in a number of different ways. He wasn't necessarily the one who served the tables, but he served the word. He cleansed the disciples. He gave them the truth to carry. He told them what they needed to do. And so, even in leading, there is serving. It is serving God and serving His. It's out of the heavens and into the earth. So, serving God with the right heart is very important. Perhaps let's hear from somebody else.
Hello, Pastor Lissigan. As again,
Morning, morning,
Pastor
morning, Pastor
Moses.
Spin. Go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Good morning to everyone. So it's a very important chapter we are dealing with this morning. Does father-son wineskin divide the body? So like it's mentioned on the outline, like you shared on the screen, from does this relationship define the body? So many times we have the tendency, like myself before, to reject this wineskin because we are seeing around us not true relationship. Like for example, if I take the case here in Mauritius, I've seen many people saying, many pastors saying that they have a spiritual father. From abroad and all these things, but when we see their life, we see that they are very self-centered people. So they have a spiritual father. They are receiving the spiritual blessing, the material blessing, financial blessing, and they kept it for themselves and just for show off. I hope you are catching what I'm saying. So just for show off, just to say that I have a spiritual father. I'm a spiritual son, but there are nothing concrete that is being is coming out of the relationship. And also there is no transformation in character. So like Pastor Malcolm rightly says that the servanthood is the key. So we don't see that servanthood. We just see that they're just being proud of having a spiritual father and they're a blessed church. They are a connected church with up from abroad. So I feel that when there is a proper relationship, a proper spiritual father, a proper spiritual son, then things change. You focus not on the on just bragging on what you have, but then the spiritual things start to take place. Like also just before we come to the different point. It says that the father and son wineskin is a catalyst, a major catalyst in bringing the body together in the city. So when there is a relationship, a true relationship with the father and son, so that start to take place. The body start to come together in the city. So even though this is very hard work, this is very difficult work to bring everybody, but a true son will open his heart, will open himself to others, to dialogue, to have a relationship with other pastor, because this covenant bring the body together and not divide like we said. So there are some. We have saw around myself in Mauritius. I mean, I've saw this kind of relationship, and I can also be say that yeah. When I saw that, I thought the body being divided, because some are positioning themselves higher compared to other. But now we are learning the true relationship. We are learning how this relationship work, and through this chapter and this book, we are finding that. We are now called in our different cities, in our different countries, we are now called to stand up and to be different from what happened previously in our country. Because the Lord wants to bring back, there are many, many people who don't want to hear about a spiritual father and spiritual son, this relationship, because they have seen so many nonsense things happening. So, sorry for the word. There are things that I won't go into details that I've saw myself, I've heard myself, that I've questioned this relationship. But now we are called, we have this responsibility on our shoulder to demonstrate how a true relationship work and what kind of blessing it bring to the church, what kind of blessing it bring to a city, what kind of blessing it can bring to a country. And when we're sharing on this different point, so definitely a father need to be a mature man. So and the son need to be raised properly. So it's not just about coming and doing a conference and go and say, this is my spiritual father. But how a spiritual father being a mature man, he will educate his son. He will train them to be a proper representative and how to be different in that region. So that's where we need to understand the servanthood, how we are called to be servant and how we are called to serve. And I will focus on just to end my. What I'm sharing, point three, where you say that Paul and Apollos had different grace function. So definitely we need to understand this. We have different grace function. All of us around in this meeting, we have different grace function. So it's not about competitions then. I can't compare myself with the grace that is in someone else's life, because that grace, like point number two said, it is given by God. It's not me about choosing what kind of grace I want to have. It's God given. So if I have received in such a grace and I'm functioning in such a grace, so that's how I feel that it brings the body together, that I need the grace in different people. Because I don't have every grace. So it don't divide. It's bring together the body of Christ. But I need to have this humility to understand, because many times we focus only on our strengths. So what I mean is we focus on the grace we have and the strengths we have. But it's very important also that we know that we are limited in a way. There are some gifts that we don't have. There are some talents that our church will never have, some people will don't have. So we'll need the help of other people. We need the grace of other people. And like we recently had the conference in Mauritius, so many grace carriers came and we benefited from the grace in their life. There were some people like was telling me that when Pastor Malcolm was speaking, I was shaking, and he was shaking more when Pastor Malcolm was sharing than when Pastor Ravi was sharing. Others was connected highly with Pastor Ravi to say, well, I felt the passion when Pastor Ravi was sharing. Some other was connected more to Dr. Cindy than they connected to Pastor Malcolm. And so it was different to everyone. So every speaker that came with different grace, it bring different flavor. And when we bring all these together, then the body really comes together. It don't divide, it come together. But it is a responsibility, I feel, of the father of the house. So he need to educate the people. He need to show the people that we need the grace in different people. And also, which is, I will end on this point, which is very important, that we don't need to have insecurities in our heart. So sometimes we feel insecure because someone else came in, his grace is different, and people feel attracted to them. And we say, oh, so I'm no longer important here. I'm no longer of a value here. So that's also a working that we need to do on ourselves. So we need to understand that there are different grace functions, but we need not to be insecure in our heart, not to be insecure. No, we need to know that we are building the body of Christ, and this is a grace that the Lord have put in us, and we just need to accept it and function under it. So thank you, Pastor Desigan.
Thanks, Pasasigan. I appreciate your contribution. And I know that the conference that you held recently was a huge success, as was the conference that Pastor Malcolm hosted a few months ago. And it's amazing to see how Dr. Ronnie continues on from region to region. And he's proceeding to go and work with the different groups of people, different spiritual sons. And what he does in every nation is mostly the same. He's going to build, he's going to encourage, he's going to edify, he's going to exalt, he's going to be there as a carrier of grace. And, there's so much that can happen over a digital platform, but to be present is something quite different. So I appreciate the contribution that you made. And yes, certainly, the more mature we are, we begin to overcome things like competing. And we don't need to have competition in the body of Christ, but a desire to serve together with the gifts that God has given to us. Let's continue with point number five. Point number five is the next verse in that writing, and he titles it, Paul and Apollos Are One. Now, he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive of his own reward according to his own labor. And he says, the implication is that if Paul and Apollos are one, their respective followers must see themselves as one. So he's saying, if Paul and Apollos, who are carrying different gifts, they are doing slightly different things because they have different gifts, and they can say that they are one. That's a maturity of the fathers coming through to not divide, but to demonstrate that we are one. And these are things that those who are walking after them, those who are following them, must see and also recognize. And I think more than that, they must also be able to do, to emulate, to speak in that manner and not to speak divisively. Point six, Paul and Apollos are laborers together. And that comes out in verse 9, for he says that, for we are laborers together with God. Paul and Apollos labored together. They were not competitors. Competition should not exist in the body. Verse point seven is the people belong to God. And he says, so the continuation of verse 9 is, ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. So the people are God's husbandry and God's building. Therefore, they are not the apostles' private possession. So we should recognize that as much as we are building, it is God's building. The people belong to the Lord, and as we labor, we are serving in a part of the vineyard to draw people to Him and to then work with them. And initially, it may be to work with levels of maturity that might not necessarily be where we'd like to see people. But as they grow, as they overcome certain mindsets, and remember, we need to bring every thought into captivity to the knowledge of Christ. That's part of the process of raising people, causing them to arise, which then brings their standards up. They begin to see things differently, they begin to see themselves differently. They begin to see their brothers differently. They begin to see other workers in the body of Christ differently. And they recognize we all belong to the Lord. So, yes, we shouldn't be in the place of trying to divide the body, But we should be enhancing the body. We should be enhancing, and just as if we go back a few steps, we saw that here, Doctor Say, he said Peter affirmed Paul. So Peter affirmed Paul, and what that should also mean is that Paul should find it in himself to be able to affirm Peter. And as they build, to carry that spirit of oneness such that their sons work in the same manner where they can affirm one another. So belonging is point number seven. He says, for ye are laborers together with God, ye are God's husbandry, and ye are God's building. So that's an important point. Some don't like the idea of belonging, and whether in the natural context, with modern day culture and perspectives on life or feminism, this idea might go contrary. But because we are people who belong to the Lord, our perspectives need to be aligned. It's okay to be aware of alternate points of view, but remaining committed and consistent to the Lord's perspectives is very important, and that doesn't change. And these things are for us and for our children and for the generations that come after. So the work that we're doing is not only for ourselves, because time goes quickly. It goes quicker than we might think. I remember listening to one of Dr. Segi's elders sharing some years ago, and he's a mature man, age-wise, and he was saying that we shouldn't despise those who are older, because the time from where, of course, he was speaking to those younger, and he was saying the time that it takes to get from where you are to get from to where I am is not that long. And he says, and when you get to that time, you will see that the time is quick. And so don't look at those who have gone ahead, those who are older, as those that are without the same kind of value that you see yourselves. They may just have moved on in age, they may slow slightly, but it doesn't mean that they are no longer valuable. Point eight, he says, Paul affirmed that his work was not the result of his own intellect, but the grace of God. According to the grace of God, and that's verse 10, according to the grace of God which was given to me, and that's the emphasis. It is according to the grace of God which is given to me. As a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. And the foundation, Dr. Segi says in point nine, is Christ. It's not any apostle. So the foundation will always be Christ. And then from 1 Corinthians 3, verses 11. the verses for other foundation can harm, can no man lay than that is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Point 10, every man's work will be tested, whether it is human or divine. Every man's work will be tested, whether it is human or divine. And then from verse 12 onwards, the reading goes into the different materials that one can use in the building process. And it is verse 12, Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. So he says, your work could be gold, silver, and precious stones, or wood, hay, and stubble. And gold, silver, and precious stones are derivatives of the rock. I previously used to think it was just because it was more expensive. But I love the perspective that Dr. Segi brings here in that they are derivatives of the rock. And these are things that need to be mined. In my early years of being an engineer, I worked for a company that many of you probably have heard of because they had an international type of footprint. It was De Beers. And much work goes in to extracting diamonds out of the rock and bringing it to the surface. The same is true for the mining processes that go into bringing silver out of the rock, gold out of the rock, or even bringing it out from in between the rock. Now, the difference with those elements that are found in the rock, wood, stubble, and hay are derivatives of sand or dust of human origin. And when we build with a sectarian mentality, the building is of human origin and not of Christ, and human works will finally fail the fire test. So that which we build needs to be enduring, and that which we build, when we allow the Lord in the process and we don't say, Lord, let me build something glamorous for myself, we are building with elements that are linked to the rock. And of course, the rock is Christ. Then point number 11, the church is the temple of God and not the apostles' temple. The church is the temple of God and not the apostles' temple. So verse 16 says, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. So whether one, I think going back to the point from earlier on about I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, he's saying ultimately you belong to the Lord. And so we need to recognize that the Spirit of God dwells in us. And so if the Spirit of God dwells in those following Paul and those following Apollos, or those following Pastor Malcolm, or those following Pastor Ravi, or following Pastor Cindy, the Spirit of God dwells in all of them. And whilst they might be quickened by the word of one, because they are configured to receiving of that grace in a particular way that moves them, they then shouldn't be going to say, I am of this person, I am not of that person, this one's much better, etc., etc., because people are configured in different ways, and as the grace gifts work, they all belong to the same God and to the same Spirit that dwells in each one. So I'm not saying that what the people were saying to Pastor Asigan was divisive. I think the expression he was giving to it was they were being moved by the different graces. And so he didn't say that they went on to say, hence I am not of this person. So people connect, and God works in that connection. So when the connection is divine, that is a weeping in the womb type of joining that takes place. Point 12, God will destroy anyone that defiles the temple by sectarianism. And verse 17 says, if any male defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in the world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, for it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. So the Lord even knows our thoughts, let alone the Lord knowing what we utter, the Lord knows our thoughts. Point 13. Don't glory in men. Don't idolize your father or the apostle. Therefore, let no one glory in men, for all things are yours. And we'll talk a bit more about the yours element in the next point. And he says sectarianism idolizes the father or the apostle. Point 14, Paul, Apollos, and Cephas belong to all. And he brings this from verse 22 and 3, 22 and 23, where he says, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours. So all things definitely belong to the Lord. And ye are Christ's, and Christ is God's. It is wrong to say that you are of Paul and not of Apollos. So fathers that operate with the above 14 principles do not divide the body. Paul does not reject spheres or graces on the basis of the Corinthian problem. He affirms it. So I think this is now where we can make the key contrast between the point that he began with, where Wolfgang was talking about that the father-son relationships are divisive, and Dr. Segi brings it together after these 14 points of saying, this is what mature fathers will do, is they teach their sons, they demonstrate the oneness, they show how we affirm one another. They speak of that we all belong to the Lord. And in summary, he's saying he, as much as he, Paul, introduced this idea or this problem, he doesn't, because of the problem, say, therefore, we mustn't have spiritual fathers and sons. He says he demonstrates that we must build the understanding. We must build the maturity. He doesn't negate that the very construct should be dismantled or done away with. So rather, he affirms it. So our time is going, and we will be concluding in about 20 minutes. So at this point, now that we've gone through all of the 14 elements that Dr. Segi has put into this document or into this book, perhaps we could hear from another one or two of the participants on the call this morning. And just a minute or two, we'd like to hear some more voices and what you are taking out from this, or what you have observed about this, even in how we are building. We shouldn't be in competition with each other, because we all are building the body of Christ. We may be in different regions, we may have different gifts. Dad may spend more time with some of us because of whatever reason. Like Pastor Malcolm gets a visit probably more often than many others, because Dad often passes through that region in making his way into India or making his way into Nepal. So not for us to envy Pastor Malcolm, but to celebrate that they have the opportunity to build and that he enjoys more time with Dr. Ronnie. Anyone else want to share a thought or two? Maybe you were in the place of being divisive and you have transitioned, you have matured. Maybe you did some comparisons. Maybe you declared I am of this one and not of that one. And whatever it is that you might want to share, anyone. Pastor Samuel, I enjoyed hearing from you last week. If there's anything you'd like to share with us today, you're most welcome.
Good morning, all of you. Can you hear me?
Good morning. And I see Pastor Prakash's hand as well. We'll come to you. Yes, we can hear you. Go ahead.
Yes. Yes. Good morning. Hope you are okay. And when we see all these points, we can see that all these result in the oneness of the body of Christ. You know, Rodrigues is a very small island. Every Christian know every Christian. Every pastor know every pastor. Sometimes when you hear someone speaking, a Christian talking, he did not have to say that he goes to such a church or she or he goes to another church. He did not have to mention what church he go, what pastor he had, but we already knew the pastor. We when they speak, we knew what church they go, what pastor they are leading them. Because instead of seeing the word, the work of the Spirit in them, instead of seeing the Christ shaping them, instead of seeing that the words of God are transforming them, we see their pastor in them. We can deduce that these guys is going to such church because the institution is in them, the pastor is in them. The way they speak, we immediately knew which church they come from, but we did not see the works of the Spirit in them. And when we're talking about Paul, about Apollos, these people bring oneness to the church. But in Rodrigues, we see that when Christian talks, we see immediately knew which church they go. Instead of seeing God in them, we see their pastor. We see their which church they go. And now the divisional commander, which is equal to the chief commissioner of police, has invited some pastors to go to the people, to places, because there is a lot of prostitution, lot of prostitution, children prostitution. There are drugs addicts, so they permit these pastors to go to these people. But they are very happy. They are very proud. They say that the institution, the country, the divisional commander all recognize them as that they are the solution of these for problem in the country. But I said to someone, I said, but does this will really works if there is no oneness in them? Is themselves they are dividing. And if you read in John, Jesus Christ say that if but people, the world will know me, if will know me, will know that God send me, because when they see the oneness in you, when they see that the people, but the God's people are one. God people are in Christ, and Christ are in God. The world will see that God has sent Christ, because all these, the world will knew that God, Jesus Christ, is alive, resurrection from the death, because they see the oneness in the people. You know, but these people are happy because the divisional commander granted them some permission to go to the region to talk about Christ. But if there is no oneness, and at Oxford, guys, if there is no oneness in the people, how will the world will recognize Christ in them? How will the world will recognize, will know Christ? There is no oneness. So when one of the most difficult things I think that will happen is in Odrift, if a pastor will accept the white skin, because the white skin is for people who deny themselves, who don't look for glory for themselves, who search the glory of God. You know, so I think that I'm totally agreed with what his point, where we can see that Paul operate in the grace that God gave to him. Paul is completely emptied himself from his own, but he is full himself with the Spirit of Christ. You know, what I'm going to share. But when you go to Rodriguez, you can see when people speak, we knew which pastor is his pastor, which institution he is belong. We don't see Christ shaping in.
Thank you, Pastor Samuel.
In them. And what Dr. Segi wrote is very true. Okay.
Thank you, Pastor Samuel. So I think these are lessons for us that we, I think, emphasizes the importance of the father-son wineskin that we are building, and also helps us to see that even when there is opposition to the father-son wineskin building model, that it's oftentimes that people don't understand. And if we can take the time to bring them to understand, then we've done well in shifting their perspectives as well. I quite admire that the police departments recognize that there are some things that are outside their capacity, and that they would go to the pastors to seek the assistance. It's a pity that you're saying the pastors that they are going to don't necessarily have the level of oneness, or they might be building their own institutions instead of the body of Christ. But I like that the police is involving spiritual leaders in community problems. You know, even crime, when I can recall locally here, probably about 2 years ago, there was a community that felt that crime was out of hand in their area. And so they went to the government offices with a list of requests, you know, more manpower on the ground and better policing, and help us with this and that. And the thought that I had at the time was, how come they don't go to the local pastoral teams in the region? That the people, I mean, surely people in those areas are going to church. And I think that is a good thing that's happening in your environment. But when people are going to church and they come out and do all sorts, I'm going to use borrow from Pastor Astigan's word here. They come out and they do all sorts of nonsense. That immediately points to the type of building that is not making a difference to the communities around us. When people are in church environments, the grace of God should convict them to shift from evil ways of operating. And, you know, those that are walking with us, they should go to the police department to utilize the services of a commissioner of oath, and not, not for anything more severe than that. So thanks, Pastor Samuel. Let's go to Pastor Prakash.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone.
Morning.
Yes, especially the Wolfgang, who has opposed other son Weinstein, because of, I think, it is a shepherding movement. The wrong impact of shepherding movement. So the father-son Weinstein, now people are understanding, especially other denomination church leaders and people are how they understand is these again the shepherding movement is a controlling spirit by being a father to control the son to their own benefit. It is a cultist practice which has happened in the history, and from that perspective he has so in that book, in this book, so it's so clear that it is not a controlling spirit, and also it's not a competition, it's not a comparison, but it is a cooperation. So Paul himself wrote this letter of Corinthians, and he himself said Apollos and Cephas and Paul, they have their own different gift, different God is using them to build his church. So the childish behavior are still within us, so we have to come up from there, and I think we have to behave and operate in mature level. People should not, we should not, the fathers are mature, not childish. So Paul himself is a mature father. So he wrote this letter in that maturity. So childish behavior are among us and among the church. So God is bringing fathers, the mature fathers, to bring his church in maturity so that the church will be a role model in the community, as Desigan says, gave some example that the church is the model to guide the community, guide the nation. So God wants us to be behave in mature level. Thank you.
Thanks, Pastor Prakash. Appreciate your contribution. Is anyone else? I think we have time for one more person and then we'll conclude. Okay, I'll go through the last portion for this morning. I won't start on the work that David did, but if we go to page 65, if you're following from your book, in page 65, Dr. Segi says, fathers that operate with the above 14 principles do not divide the body. Paul does not reject spheres or graces on the basis of the he does not reject spheres or graces on the basis of the Corinthian problem. He affirms it. And so this idea of sphere or grace speaks to the relationships that exist in a particular sphere or the grace that one is connected with. And then in verse 12 of 1 Corinthians 1, it says, now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I am of Apollos, and I am of Cephas, and I am of Christ. Verse 13, probably intended for that to be the same color, is question is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you, or were ye baptized in the name of Paul? And his response is, when we refer to the first chapter, the issue was not only Paul, Apollos, or Cephas. And he goes on to say, some say they were of Christ. And he says, this is precisely the problem of the brother-brother church. They say they don't follow a human leader, but they follow Christ. And this is equally the Corinthian problem. It is clearly a schismatic mentality. In fact, the brother-brother church is guilty of the very thing they accuse others of. They are the center of schisms and contentions bordering on Gnosticism. They have separated from others who affirm the need for human leadership, claiming that they follow Christ alone. Father, Son, Wineskin households will bring the church together. Responsible fathers with the mentality of David will operate in oneness. We see the pattern in David. And so this we can pick up perhaps next week. So we've come to the time now in our meeting where we can come to the table of the Lord. And if you have your emblems prepared, or if you want to do that quickly, you can do that. This is one of the few things that the Lord has asked the church to do. And he said to do it in remembrance. And so we know that forgetting can get us into a lot of trouble. And so to remember is very important. And as believers, we are very privileged to have the Lord in our lives, to belong to him. I think many of us could say that if it wasn't for the Lord, we may be, or we may still be idol worshippers today. We have been granted the gift of worshiping the true God, and him being alive, he has the ability to know our thoughts, know every intention of our hearts, and he works from inside. Yes, he will also work externally through other leaders, or even through our brothers, through our spiritual fathers. But we are blessed with the conviction of having the Holy Spirit. So, Father, we thank you this morning for every person and every family and every nation that is represented in this meeting. And, Lord, we pray that you will continue to do a mighty work through your chosen vessels, Lord. We thank you for the opportunity to partake together. And us partaking together, Lord, means that we are receiving Christ and receiving you, God, into our lives. And it is the same spirit that all of us carry. So build in us, Lord, that which you desire to bring glory to your name. Let's eat of the bread, drink of the cup. Thanks, Pastor Anup. We see your message. You're heading off to the airport. Let's pray and we'll conclude. Father, we thank you for this time we can be gathered together. And Lord, we pray that you will bless each one. Those that are traveling, Lord, we pray for special grace, that you will grant them favor at the airports and on the airplanes, Lord, or however they are traveling, Lord. We thank you, God, that you will take them to their destinations safely. We pray for the peace of God in those environments. We pray, Lord, against any form of antagonism or attack from those that oppose Christ. But Lord, let your favor protect them, and let your work continue, Father. Let the building of your kingdom continue in a mighty way. Lord, we pray that you would help us, each of us today, in the things that we will deal with. And Lord, in the work that we are doing, we thank you for good success, for everything we put our hands to, Lord. We thank you, God, that you will bless and you will prosper. So we look to you today as author and the finisher of our faith. And it is in Jesus' name that we pray. God bless you all and have a wonderful day further.